Hey y'all, it's Max. If you're enjoying Mage Hand High Five and you want more, I want to invite you to join us on Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Patreon is the primary source of funding for our show, and support from our patrons directly allows us to keep telling stories like this one and sharing them with you. We just revamped our Patreon offerings for 2026, and right now we're doing a special dice giveaway for new and upgrading patrons. Our first new Patreon tier is Mage Hand Finger Guns. For $2 a month, you'll get a special role in our Discord server and access to suggest intro rankings for each of our episodes. Next, the Mage Hand Down Low tier has had a couple changes. For $5 a month, you'll continue to get ad-free episodes and access to our talkback podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, but now you'll also get monthly homebrew drops from our actual play episodes to use in your games at home. And to round it out, I'd like to introduce Mage Hand Up High. For $10 a month, you'll get access to everything from the finger guns and down low tiers, and you'll also get access to a monthly variety live stream featuring one or more of the Mage Hand crew, and a monthly creative piece from one of us inspired by our actual plays. It could be, you know, a journal entry or a song or essay, DM notes, or honestly, it could be anything. To give you a preview of what to expect, all our January Patreon content will be available for free to anyone with a free or a paid subscription. Just head on over to patreon.com/magehandhighfive to check it out. Plus, anyone who joins as a paid member or upgrades their existing membership before the end of February will automatically be entered into a drawing to win a free Mage Hand High Five branded D20. Your support genuinely means the world to us, and it helps us make the show better and better and better. And with that, how about a high five and on with the show?
Another episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your dungeon master, Casey Pappeth.
Are you?
Casey Pappeth.
Are you?
I'm Casey Pappeth. Holy shit. Who ran away with Casey and replaced him with Casey Pappeth?
This is Mage Hand High Five.
Oh my God. It's TK.
Welcome back.
Aw.
And with me.
Oh, we're just using that?
Nah, you know what? My name's Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to forget someone's name immediately after meeting them.
Mm. Ooh, I know the answer to this.
Are we all 1 A, B, and C?
We'll see. First up, Max Weinberg.
Ooh, hello, I am Max Weinberg playing Hayden, not playing Hayden K.
What is it? We forgot the day.
Forgot Hayden's name, forgot Wyatt's name.
I'm playing Wyatt Forsyth, not Hayden Kincaid, and I think I've already proven this ranking wrong.
Okay, next, Robin Langenhop.
Okay, hi, I'm Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid. I'm actually the one playing Hayden Kincaid, by the way. And this is a big problem for me in college, where people would come up to me and start talking to me because they already knew my name, and names were never exchanged. And then I'm months into this friendship. The name moment never happened. I'm just hoping that somebody else will say their name in my presence so I can finally learn it.
Robin's that famous.
And Rowan McStay.
Casey, I am Rowan McStay playing Salome Breyer, and you are wrong all the way down. I am
probably
very good with names, and I have actually a list on my phone of people that I meet and associations of how I met them so that I don't forget people's names when I meet them.
I wish I did that.
Wait, so that means you are bad, but you just try to compensate for it.
I mean, I guess.
It means they have a system.
I have a system, yeah. I have a system because I'm bad at remembering anything. And so I remember people's names by writing them down.
What's my association in your phone?
Some asshole.
With that, this is the part of the episode where I normally dive into the recap, but we were all separate the whole time last time.
We don't know what happened yet.
And y'all haven't come together. So I am going to ask Robin and Max, would you please leave the table for a little bit?
What if I said no?
Too bad.
Bye, Rowan. I hope you're alive when I get back.
Me too.
Salome, you woke up in a cell. You came to learn that you'd been captured as a prisoner of the pit from your neighboring prisoner, Loda. Loda also let you know about the games, where prisoners compete in death matches. When guards arrived to take you to the games, you escaped and found yourself in the library, where a book on the flame detailed a prophecy about how only one flame touched could open the fount to release great power. When we last left off, you were interrupted by the arrival of a deep gnome man. He stands before you now, saying, "Who the fuck are you?"
I want to do a snap judgment of this fella. Does he look like someone who belongs in a library, or does he look like he's like the muscle?
Roll insight.
That is only... Oh, that's a 13.
Okay. He seems the scholarly type.
All right.
He has little spectacles, suspenders.
Great.
He seems like he knows a thing or two about about books.
All right, great. I give him a passing glance and then put on as much of a rich person sort of important air as I possibly can muster. I reach down into a toiletry bag or something, like just a small bag that I have at my side, slip on Theo's signet ring onto my left ring finger, and pull out some lipstick to kind of mask that I've just done something.
Theo's signet ring?
Yeah, I have Theo's signet ring from Echo that says TJ on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you stole it. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So I reach my hand down, basically slip on a ring and pull out lipstick as if I was reaching in for lipstick. And I just ignore him and keep reading.
He hesitates and then he says, "Excuse me.
Can I help you?
This area is not allowed for visitors. Who are you?"
"Oh, darling. I assure you I'm not someone whose authority you want to question. Unless you'd like to cost the powers that be a whole hell of a lot of money. Do you make a habit of interrogating your shareholders and their spouses?"
He fully stops in his tracks and goes,
"My husband's in a meeting upstairs, and they assured me that you would be more than happy to show me around. They didn't mention a name, but they said a little gnomish fellow would."
"And who's they?"
"My husband? You can call me Mrs. Theodosius Jameson if you'd like."
He blinks and says, Theodosius Jameson?
"Mm-hmm. Now, darling, are we done here? Because I've already given you too much information." Did you roll something?
I rolled insight, and then I rolled history.
Mm.
Both of them, nat ones. That's crazy.
I sort of like flash the like ring on my left ring finger that says TJ on it as I do my little lipstick and put it back in my bag.
You see his demeanor change.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Mrs. Jameson, I apologize for my previous demeanor. With the business that we run, it's extremely difficult to tell sort of who's who. We really, really don't get visitors down here. In fact, you were not supposed to be given access to this room. We don't allow anyone access to this room."
"Oh, is that so? Well, I'm sorry. I must have misunderstood things. I had thought that you would be eager to give us access, considering that we have information from the Book of Rhoda that might be useful to you."
He blinks again, and he says, "Is that..."
"Oh, oh, you mean to tell me that you are after the source of power, the Fount of the Flame, and you know nothing about Rhoda? Oh, that is so interesting."
He looks at you and he says, That book you got open there.
Right.
Can I see it?
I want to make an insight check again.
Okay.
14.
He's suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe the information in this book is not public information?
It's your library, dear heart. Take it if you want it.
He holds out a hand and goes to take the book.
All right. It's his library.
Okay. He takes it. Puts it under one arm and says, why don't we see about getting you back up to the upper levels?
Right. I'd love that.
In fact, I think he checks his watch. I think we're set for another round of games here in a few.
I would love to see that. It has been a minute since I've had some quality entertainment, and you know how it is waiting for folks in business meetings. Would you escort me to the best seat you can find?
Absolutely. Were you assigned seats?
I believe we were, but I seem to have misplaced the tickets.
Of course. Well, why don't we just pop by the front desk and we can have those reissued to you?
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, you have really earned your, well, no doubt, meager salary today.
You see a look flash over his face that he didn't contain. And then he's all smiles again.
I'm sorry, dear. What did you say your name was?
He said, I'm Dr. My name's Dr. Devlin Dervish.
Dr. Dervish. Well, I appreciate your hospitality, and I'm sorry I got myself turned around and lost in your library.
He smiles and says, not a problem. The layout of this complex is, well, complex.
Of course it is.
He holds out a hand as if to guide you to your seat.
Wonderful. I give him my hand.
And he escorts you from the library. As he does, he turns, starts down the hallway that you were originally going towards.
Mm-hmm.
But as he heads that way, he turns and heads up a flight of stairs instead, with you in tow.
Oh, okay. So we found our way sort of downstairs. I was meant to be upstairs.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. You know, he'll tell you, I'm terrible with directions.
Of course. I will say it's very lucky that you didn't go down further. The further down levels are just, well, they're unpleasant, and they're not meant for the good public.
Do you handle any of the unpleasant business?
Well, as the game master and sort of head magician on staff, it's my job to make sure that things are running smoothly.
Oh, now they did not tell me that you were the game master. You're telling me that you're the mastermind behind the hide-and-seek game. I heard that was legendary.
Well, you must understand that, I mean, did you really believe that Boyd Crenshaw had all of the brains to keep this operation going?
Well, Mr. Crenshaw is certainly a good businessman, but it takes a little more doing to come up with something elaborate as something like the games.
Of course, he's... You know how businessmen are. They're a lot of ideas.
Mm.
But sometimes it's no more than that.
Do I ever? Tell me, what draws you to this field, to this career? What was the calling for you?
Well, personally, I just like the work.
Mm.
It's innovative.
Creative, certainly.
It allows me to do things with magic that no one has dreamed of. And hopefully, well, we're, like you said before, we're hoping to expand soon into a new line of business.
Salome smiles and thinks, I'm going to kill this man, and says,
right, I imagine some of the deals being discussed upstairs are related to the expansion.
Yes. He sort of, he shrugs and says, it's a little early to be advertising such things. I thought we would be a little bit longer in development, but you know, Boyd.
Well, I'm sure you can handle it, Doctor. Clever individual that you are.
Thank you. I appreciate your kind words, Miss Jameson. It's about that time when you get to a large set of doors
mm-hmm.
that he opens. You see him press a hand against it. The lock on it's this big complex lock that clicks all by itself as he places his hand on it.
Mm.
And it begins to open.
Tell me, Dr. Dervish, as he's going to do this, why would you hide such a magnificent library behind closed doors?
Well,
sensitive information.
Trade secrets.
Understood.
You must understand that in order to continue in this world, it is a necessity to protect one's brand. And it doesn't take a businessman like Boyd Crenshaw to know that.
Indeed. Well, I appreciate the escort.
Of course. You pass through the doors. You know what? As you pass through the doors, why don't we come back to this? Will you send in Robin?
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking game master, huh? That's interesting. Piece of shit.
Hayden, you woke up thrown into a death match. After a series of near-death scrapes, including one with a mysterious knight who could seemingly turn invisible on command, you made it to the end of a labyrinth, finishing fourth of four. When we last left off, you were pulled from the platform by one of the guards, who revealed herself to be Belinda Bartle in disguise. Where you are now? You are beside Belinda, heading deeper into the pit.
Now, Miss Bartle, I'm sure you get this all the time, but I'm kind of out of my element here. I've been separated from my friends. I don't really know what's going on. Just to soothe my soul a little bit, do you mind singing me a little song?
She looks at you and says,
you're right. I overstepped. I'm so sorry. Pretend I never said it.
I don't know that we really know each other that well.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's too forward even for a close friend. You know what? Let's just keep going. Let's keep our heads on straight.
She, as she's going along, she puts her mask back on and says, all right, you don't look like a guard, so you're going to have to be my prisoner.
You clearly know more about this than I do, so I will defer to your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I've been here for a minute. All right. And she takes out a pair of handcuffs, and she says, I got the key for these. Do you trust me?
Whew. You know what? I don't have a better scenario, so yes.
All right. And she clicks the handcuffs around your wrists and says, this is just to... We got to sell it in order to be able to move through this place unnoticed.
Sure thing.
We'll head deeper down and see. Do you know, I just got a message from Salome not that long ago. Is she here?
To my understanding, she was. We were trying to get into the Fount of the Flame. I don't know if you were trying to get to the same location, but...
No.
Then we fell in a hole and I just ended up in this pit.
In the pit. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Are there other places that they could have gone? Because it really seemed like whoever went into the pit didn't come out besides the four of us on that platform.
There's typically two places that people go when they come here. And that's into the prison itself or into the games.
All right, well, let's just all hope they made it into the prison, because if they made it into the games... Yeah, I don't really want to think about that right now.
And then she stops and says, Salome told me Barabbas is alive.
Saw him myself.
Where is he?
Well, girl, I'll tell you. He's not making smart choices. I can tell you that much at least.
Well, yeah, and the sky is blue.
He's off to bag himself a Jameson, brother. He's heading to 3.
Fuck.
If you and I manage to get out of this safely and we find Salome and Wyatt, a new little one they haven't met yet, you're welcome to come along with us. Hopefully we can intercept him.
Wyatt?
Yeah, sweet little Church of the Flame kid. He's figured out the church is actually terrible, or at least some subsets of it, but he's on the up and up with us.
Eternal Flame? He's a flame kid?
Best one I've ever met. And you should know that I don't take kindly to most flamies.
Well, then he might not have gone into the cages.
Oh, is there a third option?
Well, there is the powers that be that run this place. They have been scooping up flame devotees by the wagon load. Each of them seems to be getting sort of private interviews.
Oh.
By the man upstairs.
Are they meant to survive these private interviews?
It depends on whether they get the job.
Do you know what the job is?
I don't. I've only seen them rounding him up and taking him up to his office. I need you to understand, my tenure as a guard is not that long.
Yeah, where'd you start out here?
Well, I came snooping around this place because I thought this might be a place that Barabbas might have got himself caught here.
Hmm.
I got caught, thrown into the games, survived, and then a guard slipped up, slit his throat, took his clothes.
Probably the right plan.
I was going to continue to check this place to see if Barabbas is here, but now that y'all have told me that he's not, well, now is a good time to cut and run.
You're welcome along with us. You just gotta help me find the others.
All right, we gotta make it quick, though.
Will do.
What? These folks, they're stupid, but they're not that stupid.
All right.
We'll have to check all the levels one by one. I don't know where they put Salome, but if Wyatt's not with the boss, he may be... There's a cell block where they keep all the flame people. Why don't we start there?
I'm literally in your hands now. I'm handcuffed, so...
She starts heading out, down a couple hallways. This place is labyrinthine. It's hard to keep track of where you are in it. You're down one hallway and then up another, passing doors that lead who knows where. And then you come out onto a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
You come out onto this balcony and look over, and down below are hundreds of cells. They take up the entire room below, this huge room. And everyone in these cells looks to be fully armored. They all seem to have their stuff, their weapons, but they're in these cages. And as you look closer, you see sort of a shimmer, as if the space between the bars on these cages were the surface of a bubble. It's glossy, it's shiny, and you continue along this balcony. You're continuing along, and a couple guards pass you. And as you do, you see a familiar figure.
Ooh.
Rounding the corner with the rest of the guards, behind them is the armored figure from the labyrinth.
Oh.
They stand out. Everyone's armor is sort of is like not kept up. It's ramshackle. It's dirty. It's working armor. Their armor is clean.
I am going to very quickly, if I have the chance, change my face to look more like a regular elf.
Okay.
And have my coat become less noticeable, less ostentatious, so that I don't look like a person that they just attacked in the games.
All right. you pass them, you pass the guards, you pass this figure. The figure spares a passing glance y'all's way and then continues with the rest of the guards. The other guards are talking. They're silent.
Ooh, that was closer than I would have liked.
What?
Oh, I think I got attacked by one of those white knights there in the games. I don't know if it's the exact same one, but I'd recognize that armor anywhere.
You were lucky to get out of it. That's the Wraith.
Ooh, well, I don't like the name of it, and I certainly didn't like fighting it.
The Wraith is sent in as a sort of, as an ace.
Hmm.
They're a crowd favorite. I don't know if you believe that everybody has a soul.
Salome tells me they do.
They're a compelling argument towards maybe not everybody does.
Did they get sent after specific people in the games?
From what I can tell, they pick off the weak ones.
Oh, well, I was fully expecting to get a compliment of they go after the big, strong, impressive ones, and, well, I guess I gotta walk that thought
snickers.
Back. I certainly thought myself a little, little better than I actually was, I guess.
She snickers, says, just be careful. If shit goes south, they're gonna get sent in.
And probably I should run.
And probably you should run. You continue on your way. And Robin, will you send in Max, please?
Will do.
Wyatt, you awoke in an office and were greeted by Boyd Crenshaw and his wife, Honey Bunny. Boyd revealed himself to be the warden of a prison built over the Fount of the Flame, and that the party were being held for trespassing. In speaking with him and with Honey Bunny, you gathered that the fount had dried up and that they were not keen on letting you see your friends. When we last left off, Boyd had offered a tour of the facilities, starting with the Fount of the Flame. Where you are now. You are making your way down, and as you may have guessed, Boyd has not stopped talking this whole tour.
Mm-hmm.
He is going a mile a minute talking about how, oh, we just had these new cages installed over here, and they are the pinnacle of encapturement. And if you'll look over here, we have the finest guards on display. You look, and there are guards just sitting around. None of them are on duty. They are not active. They are just sitting there.
So, how many prisoners do you have here?
Why, that is a great question. Last I checked, we were pushing, I'd say at least 1,200.
12? Wow.
1,200, kid.
How do you feed that many people? We're in the middle of the desert. There's no farms.
Well, look at you. Looking to go into the business yourself? You are asking all the right questions. You see, kid, this line of business is about government contracts. You see, we are doing the community a service, so the community takes care of us. Every prisoner we get here, we get stipends. We get contracted fees. We get food delivered here for them. Isn't that something?
I just didn't know that the government was so lucrative.
Son, why do you think people go into politics? Because it's lucrative. Let me tell you something. Who are the richest people in the world?
The Jamesons, but they have the Jameson Company. That's...
Sorry, that was too... you're thinking too specific. It's the people who sell the things we can't live without. Medicine, food, prisons, politics. The people who run everything. they got something that everybody needs. If you find something that people need, you stake a claim in it. And then you sell it for everything they got. And that's why I'm in prisons. What does your daddy do?
There's a long silence at that question. I don't know what he does. He doesn't tell me.
Well, maybe when you scuttle on out of here, you'll ask him.
Maybe.
It is about that time that you cross into a room labeled Cell Block F. You see cells containing knights, people with insignias of the flame, priests. And then you pass a cage and your heart almost stops. For in that cage is a human man. He sits on his cot, head in his hands. His hair is a lot grayer than when last you saw him. He does not wear his priest's robes. Father Muldenin is in one of these cells.
Boyd? What did these people do? And points to, like, three cells, including Father Muldenin's, so as hopefully not to draw attention to the fact that he knows one of them.
Well, I don't know what these folks in particular did, but the point of this place is that we take the really, really bad people. The people who ain't never getting out. Now, we in the business, we like to call them lifers. And we got this deal with Fort Penitence. When they start to run out of room, they send their lifers on over to us. And then we got more lifers. So whatever these folks did, well, I bet you dollars to donuts that it was something real awful.
And then as Boyd's talking about this, he's already walked past the cells. He's headed on over to the elevator.
Wyatt, knowing that Boyd isn't looking at him, hasn't taken his eyes off Father Muldenin, and says, can I go to the bathroom? It's been a while. I don't know how long I was out.
Wyatt.
All right, well, we're gonna have to head right back up.
Oh, that's okay. Just as long as there's like a latch, I'm good. It doesn't have to be fancy.
No, you really don't want the bathrooms down here. They're for, guards.
He says that, and the guards following just sort of look at each other.
And I look at the guards and go, and what's wrong with that?
Boyd grimaces and says,
all right, if you die in there, it's not my concern. All right, guard bathrooms are, over here.
He brings you over to some restrooms. He says, don't take too long, though.
I will do my best. And Wyatt heads in to the bathroom.
Great.
Goes in, picks a stall, locks it. And I want to cast Sending to Father Muldenin. And the reason I had to do it somewhere private is because all of my spells have verbal components.
Okay.
So here is my message that I'm sending to Father Muldenin. Father, this is Wyatt. I'm in the prison at the Fount. My friends and I will get you out. May the flame keep you warm.
You send it. There is a brief pause, and then there is cacophony in your head.
God damn it.
Casey, the message compounds upon itself in your head. You hear your own words bounce off the lining of your skull. The words of,
may the flame keep you, flame.
May the flame keep you warm.
Bounces. It's like a weird magical feedback, as if you held a microphone up to the speaker that it's connected to. And for a second, it is unbearable, and then it finally dies down.
Okay. While I'm still in here, I would also like to cast Legend Lore on the fount, the prison.
Okay.
It does take 10 minutes to cast the spell.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say about 7 minutes in, you hear a bung, bung, bung on the door, and Boyd saying,
"Just a minute!
Come on!
I'm trying...
Pinch it up!
Sorry!
Mm.
10 minutes passes. Like these spells go, it is a series of pictures. In the first picture, you see a desolate world. Fully wasteland. You see no life whatsoever. And you see a jet of flame erupt from a large bowl-like indention in the earth. A jet rises in the midst of this darkness. The next picture, you see people traveling to it. You see life has grown and has grown to take this as a place of worship. They come to this flame. And then you see the church. You see church leaders, their fingers twitching on their desks as followers leave their service to worship at the fount of the flame. And you see those leaders shut down the fount. They say that it is sacrilegious, that it is a distraction, that it is not a correct place to worship. And then you see the land on which the fount sits being sold. You see hands being shook. You see a slightly younger Boyd building on top of the fount. And you see that jet disappear under layers and layers and layers of cells. And then you see the pit as it stands today, a means of making money.
I'm going to free you if it's the last thing I do. And then Wyatt heads out of the bathroom. Sorry about that, Boyd.
I pity the guard that goes in after you, after what you must have done in there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's head to the elevator.
And you start to leave cell block F.
As we leave, as we're like walking past Father Muldenin again, can I try to like kick a rock like you do kind of down the street and hopefully towards Father Muldenin's cell to have him look up and see me?
Like to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you do that. Let me have you roll a stealth check to keep it under wraps what you're doing.
Oh, God. That's a 4.
Okay. You kick the rock. It hits the bars. You kick it a little bit harder than you mean, and it skitters quickly and bounces off the bars of Father Muldenin's cell. It makes a loud ringing noise that echoes throughout this room. Immediately, the two guards with Boyd turn, and Boyd says, "What the hell was that?"
"Oh, sorry, I kicked a rock. It hit a cell. It's okay. Hit some bars."
"You kicked a rock?"
"Yeah."
"You kicked a rock.
Well, like you've never dragged your feet before?"
"You can't do that kind of stuff down here. You gotta be careful. The people down here..."
He puts his hands on your shoulders.
He says, "The people down here, they ain't gonna give you a second chance. You give them one slip, one inch, and you'll be dog meat. You understand? This ain't the kind of business that you can fuck around in."
"Understood."
"Good. Now come on."
And as you start to leave, you look back and you see Father Muldinen has seen you. He makes no motion.
I give him a little wink. Then a smile.
He gives a small smile. And you turn and come upon a set of bronze elevator doors set into the wall. Boyd clicks the button and says, "Right, the elevator's not big for the all of us, so you two," he points to the guards, go play patty cake or something. And then he, as the elevator doors open, he puts a hand on your shoulder and says, "After you, Wyatt." And as he says that, Max, would you do me a favor?
No.
Would you call in Rowan for me?
Do it yourself.
Have you ever wanted to own your own magical bookstore? Well, do I have the game for you? The Wanderer's Bookshop is crowdfunding on BackerKit right now. In this mixed media solo journaling game, you play as a wanderer with a burning literary question that the bookshop will help you solve. Guided by tarot cards and dice, you will curate your own bookshop using both the cards and the dice, but also the books you're reading. I'm currently reading an epic sci-fi opera called Revelation Space, so I kind of wonder how that would impact the story. Now, I know I just said this is a solo journaling game, but you can totally play with others as well. You can do it with book discussions, trading book sources, or even writing leading notes in each other's journals. Want to find out more about the Wanderer's Bookshop? Head on over to the BackerKit page at tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks to check it out. And from one wanderer to another, I hope you find the answers you're looking for.
Sanguis populi, the blood of the people, the dark protectors of the hidden city of Azeroth, deep within the illusory forest. Familiar with death as they have eluded it, they are called upon for a desperate task: slaying a creature from the great beyond. Blythe.
This might not be easy, being surrounded by death. I don't understand how they can do it.
Elvira.
Someone must watch the bodies, and none do so as diligently.
Swan.
Into action so fast. I love when we get to go out.
It came from the sky. This great, pale monstrosity.
You just had to sate your hunger. You couldn't have saved it for the beasts.
I prefer the gratuity.
Vampirism is not immortality. It only prolongs the inevitable. Is this the end for Sanguis Populi? Blood in the snow. A tale yet told. Halloween 2025.
Sorceress, lower the barrier for just a moment. Sanguis Populi departs.
Listen to Tale Is Yet Told wherever you get your podcasts.
Salome, you are with Doc Devlin Dervish. Doc opens the doors to the upper level, and as he does, you see that the difference between this side and that side is astonishing. This side is drab. The wallpaper peels. There's closed doors and small windows and guards. And then you pass through the double doors, and the doctor takes care to close them behind you as you open into a lobby. You look, the doors behind you say employees only. And this lobby is nice. Tiled floors, large windows overlooking a pretty picturesque outdoors. There doesn't seem to be a front door, weirdly. There's a large circle in the middle of the room in the tile, set into the tile. And then across is what appears to be a front desk.
Are there other people in here?
There are. There are people in line.
What do the people look like in terms of money, background, origin?
Oh.
What can I glean from these people?
They are wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
They have canes and large hats and large manicured mustaches. They are Threedian.
Hmm.
You can tell by the money.
Bearing in mind that I have a courtier background, so I kind of mm-hmm. know the who's who of Threed, would mm-hmm. I recognize any of these people, including the name Boyd Crenshaw?
You don't recognize the name Boyd Crenshaw.
All right.
And to be honest, these people, you recognize a few of them. They are low-level aristocracy.
Mm.
They are wealthy. They are not Jameson wealthy.
Okay.
They're not Forsyth wealthy.
Okay. But more likely than not, they would recognize me.
They might recognize you, yes.
Okay.
As the doc starts leading you over to the desk, you see a... And someone appears in the circle. Another person, sharp-dressed. And they walk over to the line.
Oh, they're teleporting people in from Threed.
Maybe.
Interesting. Is there anything around here that has like a business name or a identifier of this place outside of just knowing that it's the lobby of maybe an arena?
Above the welcome desk. Above the welcome desk sign is a larger sign, and in brilliant gold-plated script, cursive, flowered, gilded, are the words, "The Pit."
I don't know that I can do an adequate job of describing how upset Salome is at this, other than to say, I think she reaches down and without realizing it, the revolver has started warming up at her side.
Mm.
And there's something okay. in her that would normally go for the sword
mm-hmm.
and is wanting to reach for the gun.
Mm.
Like, she is beyond pissed off right now. She is sick and ready to hurt people. And if it looks like we're heading toward the box office, she will put on a smile that doesn't quite reach her eyes and say, "Doctor, darling, before we go to the box office, is there a powder room that I could see myself to?"
"Of course. I would love to make sure that you're as comfortable as possible. In fact, I'll lead you to the bathroom and I'll get your tickets myself."
"Well, that's just perfect. I appreciate you."
He leads you past the ticket counter and over to the restroom and says, "Once you've finished up, you can just wait right here."
"All right, that sounds good." I contemplate shooting him as he leaves, but I think I'm going to bide my time.
Mm.
And as soon as he leaves, I will cast invisibility on myself and walk out.
Okay. The door swings open of its own accord.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in the lobby.
Great.
You see the doctor walk up to the sort of the will call area of the desk,
mm-hmm.
Surpassing the long line, and begins speaking with one of the attendants at the front.
Mm. Is he still holding the book in his hand?
He is. He has it under one arm.
I want to get hold of that, but I think that now feels like not the moment, because I'm trying not to cause a fuss. Is there an entrance to the pit behind the welcome desk?
The room you're in is kind of like a lobby. There is the welcome desk, there is the wall of glass on your right side. And then on the other side, it's a little like a theater. There are staircases leading up and away.
Interesting. Okay. I will go to, if there are staircases that sort of look as though or are labeled as though they are going to, say, front row seats, I'll go there.
There are. You see, there are box seats.
Mm-hmm.
And there are general attendants.
I want to know who's in the box seats. What I want more than anything else is easy access to the inside of the arena, like to the where I imagine the games might be, just in case one of our friends is in there. Like I'm kind of looking around for any sign of Wyatt or Hayden, but I'm a little afraid of like whether one of them might have gotten caught up in this is kind of my like highest priority.
Okay. You start to head up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
As you head up, you look back at the employee double doors. They swing open. A handful of guards come striding out, and they start heading up the different staircases.
Ha, looking for me.
Looking for someone.
All right. Does it seem like Dervish is alarmed at all, or is he still talking about tickets?
Roll insight.
That's a 16.
16. You look. Dervish is in the midst of a conversation with the attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him frowning.
Great. I will take that time to just walk in. I want to scan the crowd. I want to scan the room. I'm looking for Hayden. I'm looking for Wyatt. And I'm looking for anyone I recognize in these seats.
You head in. And as you look, you see that there is a massive arena in front of you. The arena is huge. The stands are small. Like, they're honestly closer to, like, theater seats than true bleachers. And you see that the crowd is pretty packed. Like, there's a lot of people in here.
Cool. I would like to kill all of them.
You look up and see above these stands is a roped off section. And that section is surrounded with darkened glass. As if the people in there would prefer not to be seen.
Oh, now I kind of want to go to the box seats.
Do you continue into the stands?
Is there any kind of event happening within the arena right now?
You look out. It looks like a game just ended.
Right.
There is a large maze within the arena. Several creatures are still moving their way through it. There are winding tunnels. There is an entrance on the far side, and on this side is the exit.
Mm-hmm.
You watch as several guards on this side are using spears to prod a fully grown hydra back through a side door in the maze.
Oh my god.
There are several bloodstains on the floor of that area.
Oh, hell. Okay.
They prod the hydra back behind its doors, its many heads snapping. One of the heads comes very close to snapping up a handler, and the crowd gasps. However, the handler at the last second raises his spear and strikes the hydra. A bit of spark juts out of it. The hydra screams and rears its head, and the crowd cheers. And then the hydra is returned to its cell. And as it is, you look, and the far end, the start end of the labyrinth is changing. You see what appear to be boxes, maybe 15 to 20 boxes, all lined up in a semicircle in the starting area. And as these boxes stand, you hear a voice say, magically projected over the crowd,
"Well, well, well. Looks like we had a mighty, mighty fine show. But I hope you've got your money ready for round two. Here they are, your next round of lifers. Let the games begin."
And you watch as these boxes pop, their fronts pop open. And several people come stumbling out. And then they start killing each other. Some of them run straight for the entrance to the maze, and some of them turn on their neighbors immediately. And the voice says,
"And remember, only the first four make it out."
Is there anyone I recognize?
It is impossible to tell at this range. They are on the other side of the Colosseum.
Oh, God, I run as close to them as I can get. Screw the box seats.
Okay. You are running through the stands.
Oh my God, I feel sick.
Each of these contestants, as you get closer, have a number, a green magical number hanging over their head. And as one of them brings down their spear into the body of another one, you see that one's number go out. And the crowd cheers.
Oh, I am...
The number 14 winks out of existence.
Ooh, I am mentally pledging to myself to give this game master the most gruesome death I can possibly muster for him as I run to see who is in this maze.
You lurch forward, invisibly stepping through the crowd. You push past patrons who are just confused, not sure what is being what is pushing them to the side, but then all is dropped as the crowd cheers as someone else is run through. You look forward and you find you do not see a hobgoblin boy. However, you realize with dawning horror that you might not know if Hayden is in there.
Oh, hell, okay.
And then you look and you see a tall man, skin pale white, braided hair and beard, armor etched with flame insignias. Mordric is in the game.
Shit. Does it look like Mordric is collaborating with anyone else in the game?
He's just sprinting through the maze.
Okay.
You watch as he sidesteps an attack from someone, conks them over the head, and the crowd gets excited for a second, but then he, instead of delivering a killing blow, keeps going. And the crowd boos in anger.
I want to kill everyone here. Is Mordric coming toward me?
He is. He's headed through the maze. It is down a level. Like, you're sort of peering into the Colosseum.
Shit, I'm trying to think of a way to get in there.
Roll a perception check.
Fuck, that's only a 10. I don't care if it's safe or not. I just want to weigh in.
You know what? With a 10, you notice two things. I want to give this to you.
Okay.
There is a shimmering field similar to the one between the bars. That separates the arena from the arena goers. And then you notice one more thing. Headed through the maze, long white hair and beard, pickaxe glimmering from the shimmer of the bubble. A number 2 hanging above her head is one Philomena Fiddlefaddle.
Shit, Philomena!
And now, would you be so kind as to call in Robin?
Yeah.
Hayden, You and Belinda are moving along this balcony. You look into cells as you walk by. You don't see Salome or Wyatt in any of them. You take a couple more turns before you enter an area. As you do, you look above. There is a peeling sign that says cell block F.
Uh-huh.
Most of the cells in here are occupied. As you walk, it dawns on you that the people in this area have... Well, it's like Belinda said. They carry insignias of the flame. Some of them are knights. Some of them are folks with a silver pendant, similar to Wyatt. You see one or two priests.
Miss Bartle, I know you got a bit of a plan here and a destination in mind. Is there value to just letting everybody loose? Get some good old-fashioned chaos going in here?
I mean, I guess it couldn't get worse, right?
I mean, that's...
I mean, these folks may... Some of them may be able to get out.
I step up to one of the cells.
You step up. Inside is a knight. The knight looks at you. These cells are similar to the ones you saw before. They have that sort of bubble membrane, that swirling membrane between the bars.
Yeah.
There's someone in there. What do you do?
Hey there, friend. How long you been in here?
He looks at you and he says, there's no way to know. A while.
Sorry to hear that. Look, I haven't been here long. I don't know much about what's going on here, but no one deserves to be in a place like this. If we figure out a way to get the doors open, you think you can take care of yourself from there?
I believe my first priority would be to get all of these people out.
I agree. Anybody who's willing to do that, I appreciate it. There's a lot of people here, so I can't keep an eye on all of them myself, but if you're willing, I'd love to get your help.
You have it.
I'll see what I can do from the outside, but just be ready, all right?
By the word of the flame.
I wince a little bit. Sorry, old habits.
Do you start sort of looking through the cells?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Want me to roll for it?
Yeah, roll investigation.
It's not my strongest. That's a 4.
You look, it doesn't look like Wyatt is in here.
Okay.
You're passing through cells pretty rapidly.
I call out a little louder, but hopefully so that we're not overheard by a guard, but just so that the nearby prisoners can hear. All y'all. Any of you seen a kid come through here very recently? Hobgoblin kid about, a little bit higher than me. Braces on his teeth. A blonde woman in a big dress.
Some of the people in the cells look at each other. And then you hear a voice that says, "You're talking about Wyatt."
That's right. Yes. Have you seen him?
You head to that voice. You look in a cell, and there is a human man sitting on a cot. He no longer wears the priest's robes. His hair is grayer than you remember.
Father Muldenin?
In this cell is Father Muldenin.
I start to tear up a little bit. Father Muldenin, I thought you were gone for good. What? How long have you been here? My name is Hayden. I don't remember what name I gave you when we first met. I'm the kid who tried to steal from you and then started coming around because you started bringing food for the other kids and me. Do you remember?
His brow furrows and he says, "Wait, You wore a different face back then.
Yeah, I kind of do that a lot.
But you were one of my most punctual members for a while.
My gods, I thought Courtois had gotten rid of you.
He looks around and he says, well, in a sense.
Look, I'm looking for Wyatt and another friend of mine who's been helping me out, but...
Wyatt.
I'm going to try and get as many as y'all out as I can, all right?
Yes. I cannot help you with the blonde woman, but Wyatt came here not too long ago.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Do you know where it went?
He looks, and there nearby is a set of double doors. Above it, a half-circle dial. An elevator. And he says, They went down.
All right. I gotta follow along with that, but Hayden goes to reach their hand through the bars, and I assume the bubble stops them, right?
You feel a shock as the bubble pushes your hand back. As you reach, Father says, "Oh no!
Oh. Sorry.
These cells are meant to rebound all physical and magical interaction. Any spell cast, any attack made will rebound upon the user."
I'm sorry, I never thought I'd see you again.
How long has it been?
Years.
And have you taken care of yourself?
Ooh, there was a while there where... No, I absolutely did not, but... I'm on a new path now, and I feel like I'm moving the right direction.
I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, I can't explain how good it is to see you. Praise the flame. I haven't said that in quite a while, but...
Praise be.
Look,
the flame is good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, I gotta go. I gotta go find Wyatt, but we're gonna come back for you, all right? We're gonna come back for you.
Hayden, be safe.
Yes, I will.
This place, it is a testament to pain and to hurt. It is so staunchly opposed to everything the flame stands for.
Well, I think it's high time someone start teaching the world what the flame is supposed to be.
He smiles and says, I think so too. You travel with Wyatt Forsythe.
That's right. He's been reminding me that there can be good people from the flame. After what happened to you, I kind of lost that for a while.
He smiles and says, the flame, I cannot understand it, but it moves. I hope you find him.
I hope so, too.
And I hope whatever comes next for you is kind.
I'll be back. If there's any world in which I can be, I'll be back. And this is kind of a new thing to say, too, but I bring blessings from the wilds as well.
He starts at that and says, interesting.
Yeah, it's a whole new world out there, isn't it?
I'd heard stories. I would love to hear what you've gone through.
Oh, I got plenty of stories for you, Father, so you just sit tight, and we'll have them coming soon.
He smiles and goes and sits back on his cot.
All right, Belinda, the elevators, we're going down.
Belinda says, wait, is he not here?
That's where Wyatt went. That's all I know.
He went down?
Yes, ma'am.
Fuck.
Is that... Do you know what down means?
Down means they might have found what they were looking for.
Ooh.
You look and see that the elevator has clicked down to the lowest level, according to the dial.
Okay.
And she says, wait. So you don't know where Salome went?
Nah, none of these people seem to know about us, so she probably never touched this area.
Shit. Okay.
I know Wyatt might be in a dangerous place, but if we get him back with us, it'll make it that much easier to get to Salome. He's got some fire behind him.
But if what's down there is as important as all this is made out to be, we may need as many people on our side before going down there rather than after.
Hell, if you got another place to look, lead the way.
The only thing I can think of is that Miss Girl Scout has always been one of high society.
Yeah, she'd like to disagree with that, but it's still in her.
Well, I wonder if she might have found a way upstairs to try and blend in with the hoity-toity folk.
Ooh. Well, she definitely knows. She definitely has a way with words, so I wouldn't be surprised.
She shrugs, says, might be worth looking.
All right.
You got a way to turn invisible?
Do I have a way to turn invisible?
Or a way to disguise yourself? All right. I mean,
can
okay.
I disguise myself? I can't specifically turn invisible, but I can hide myself in any number of ways.
Any way that makes you look like not a prisoner.
I can make myself a little spider, get in your pocket.
You see her sort of,
Different animal? If spiders are not your thing, I could be something else small.
I mean, you can turn into a spider if you really need to.
All right. Well, I'm going to file this information away. Let's see. I'm trying to decide what's smarter here, because I can take on a disguise of just like generic hoity-toity person, but I feel like that might make me easier to spot.
Hmm.
But you know what? Let's bring out Bartholomew Giggle Spasm anyway.
Ooh, here we go. All right.
That's my highfalutin identity.
Great.
So I shrink down a couple of feet, grow this magnificent mustache, and just, let's head on along, shall we?
You turn into Bartholomew Giggle Spasm, and Belinda goes, oh, all right.
Sometimes the best way to blend in is to stand out.
Okay, yeah. Yep. She clicks the handcuffs off of you and says, all right, I think you're somebody who got lost down here.
Absolutely. I get lost all the time.
Why don't we get you back upstairs where you're supposed to be?
Well, thank you kindly, ma'am. Sorry, I could save the voice for later. I don't have to do it with you right now.
She says, no, you know what? Practice. And you both start heading up. You make your way along the balcony. You're heading up winding hallways, and then you reach a set of double doors. And these double doors have a very elaborate lock on them. And Belinda says, let me see what I can do about this lock. It's sort of a, like, you touch it and it opens, but I'm not really registered.
I got a little friend that might be able to help out. And I pull out Glitter Baby.
Okay.
This little one can change its shape as well to different metallic little objects. If you need a hand getting that lock open.
She takes it. She says, who is this?
This is Glitter Baby. This is my child.
Oh.
It's a... Well, do you know what a mimic is?
Oh, God.
It's a little baby mimic. We found each other.
Okay. And Glitter Baby goes... And she's like, oh, God, I wish it were a spider.
And then, don't worry. It's very friendly.
Begins trying to unlock the door. There is a little bit of fiddling. It takes a minute. And then... The lock clicks.
You know, it's always so wet when I do it with the Glitter Baby.
She says, yeah, no, I know what you mean. And she hands Glitter Baby back to you.
Good job, little one.
And you step into the lobby. This place is nice. It's tiled. In fact, it is a stark difference from where you were just seconds before. It looks like the lobby to an auditorium or a theater or an arena.
Oh.
It is ornate. There is a large wall of windows that look out onto the Badlands, and it's very scenic. It's very gorgeous. And you see there is a line of people at the reception desk. Wealthy patrons.
Oh, so if there are windows, do I recognize the landscape? Am I still in the same place I was before?
You don't know.
Okay.
You do not recognize that landscape.
Do I spot Salome?
You don't.
Okay.
However, you do spot one Sverf Neblin man walking towards you. Not that one.
Okay. I was not ready for that.
One Sverf Neblin man walking towards you. He wears little spectacles and suspenders, and he looks angry.
All right.
As he walks towards you, he says, "You!" And he points at Belinda. And he says, "What?" He looks at you, and he stops, and he says, "Did you..." He looks through the doors. He says, "Did you just come from there?"
Yes, I'm so sorry. I seem to have lost my way a little bit. I was looking for the little gentleman's room, and I just got all turned around. And this wonderful individual here was kind enough to send me back on my way.
He snarls and says, "That's the second time."
"Is it now? I guess we're all getting a little lost then. Oh, Bartholomew Gigglespasm, happy to meet you."
Bartholomew Gigglespasm, do you have a ticket?
"Well, when I went downstairs, unfortunately, I was accosted by an odd gentleman who was being brought to a cell, and it was taken from me."
Okay. Let's get you over to roll call. Or to will call. We'll get you your tickets. We'll get you to your seat. We'll get you a bathroom.
"Oh, thank you so much. Can we do the bathroom first, by any chance?"
I
need to go ever so badly.
He starts to say yes, and then he stops, and he says, "Actually, let's get you your tickets first."
"Well, if you insist."
And I glance over at Belinda.
Belinda has her hound's mask on. It is impossible to tell how she's taking this right now.
Okay.
And the Sverf Neblin starts to take you over to Will Call. He talks to the lady and he says, "All right, we couldn't find one for Mrs. Theodosia Jameson, so let's find one for Mr. Bartholomew Gigglespasm."
Oh, no.
And the lady starts looking through.
"Oh, Mrs. Jameson, I've been looking for her. That's so interesting. I didn't realize you'd be at the same party."
He looks at you and he says, "Wait, you know Mrs. Jameson?"
"Well, yes, I used to go out with her and the whole family out to the opera."
He looks at you and says, "And you don't know where she is right now?"
"No, I didn't even realize she'd be here at the party."
He smiles and he says, "Because we also found Mrs. Jameson." And he uses air quotes. And he says, "Mrs. Jameson downstairs. And when I went to get her tickets at Will Call, she disappeared. And her name was not on the list. So I'm going to ask you again." And you see him motion to two guards. "Where is she?"
"Well, that's information I'd quite love to hear myself. She owes me quite a bit after giving me a bad tip at the ponies."
The woman at the desk finishes looking through and she says, I'm sorry, Mr. Bartholomew Giggle Spasm isn't on the list either. And the Svirfneblin smiles and he says, just as I suspected. It would be interesting that you would need to go to the bathroom, Seeing as how that's how your friend vanished as well. I take it you and Miss Jameson know each other pretty well, Mr. Giggle Spasm?
Well, I believe that's a bit of a personal question. I mean, she is a married woman.
He smiles and says, well, guards, why don't we find out what Mr. Giggle Spasm knows? In fact, let's get him a room all to himself, shall we?
Taking a quick glance around, is there... is there a good choice of exit?
You look and see now the what looks to be the employees only section.
Uh-huh.
That closed and locked behind you. Like, people are not meant to go through there.
Okay.
And then the only other ways out of this room, it looks like, are staircases that lead up and into the arena.
Into the arena. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so worried I'm going to be running in the absolute wrong direction, but I don't want to get arrested either. I cast Misty Step.
Okay.
And get at move as close to the stairs as I can and start running up.
And would you do me a favor? Would you call Rowan back in, please?
Okay.
Great. Hi, Rowan.
Hi.
You're in the stands. You're in the arena. You find that the only way to get out, the only way to go back, is back through that employee entrance.
Okay.
You start heading out.
Yeah. And unless something else stops me, I'm going to make a beeline for Dervish.
You head back down into the lobby. And as you do, there seems to be some sort of commotion happening down there. You look and see the Svirfneblin, you know as Doc Dervish, in a heated conversation with somebody. And you see him turn and call over two guards. As the guards approach, this wealthy patron turns, and you watch them misty step across the room to the entrance of the box seats. And as they pass by you, you recognize them as Bartholomew Giggle Spasm.
Yes, Bartholomew!
And can you call Robin back in here?
Hello again.
Hi, I see you've met Dervish.
have I?
Salome, you watch as Bartholomew Giggle Spasm misty steps just past you to the entrance to the box seats and starts making their way up.
Oh, can I grab them by the... you don't see me. I am invisible.
Oh!
can I grab Hayden's shoulder?
You reach out.
Oh. Hey, it's me.
Hello. I'm being pursued.
No. Hey, it's Salome.
Hi.
Where are you going?
Well, I was...
Are you okay?
I was looking for you. I've got your girlfriend.
Belinda?
Yeah. But I think the guards are coming, so we might need to move.
Holy hell. Yeah. Go. Where are you going? Up to the box seats?
I mean, I know where Wyatt is too, but...
Philomena and Mordric are in there. Do you know what's going on in there?
Wait, in the games?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good.
There's a death maze. I couldn't get in. Philomena and Mordric are in there. I was worried you would be.
I was.
The guards are at the foot of the stairs.
Oh, shit. All right, we're going up.
Okay.
And... they are quickly followed by Doc Dervish, who says, get him!
Can I try to wrestle the book out of Doc Dervish's hand?
You certainly can.
I don't believe this is an attack. I think this is just a contested strength check.
Okay.
All right. Oh, that's not very good. That's like a... Jesus. How's a four treat you?
On a nat 20.
Ooh.
Fuck!
Doc Dervish feels the tug on the book, rips it back, and then reaches out and slaps his hand on your hand and finds you.
I cast Summon Beast and launch a rabid raccoon at him.
Does he say something, Casey?
You hear him say, "Aha, I've got you, Mrs. Jameson." And then a rabid raccoon fully nails him square in the face. He goes, "Fuck!"
All right, let's find Wyatt. Come on.
Y'all start running. You see someone in full black armor, full black leather armor, hound's mask, standing a little bit away, has started coming towards the commotion, sees you running, Bartholomew Giggle Spasm.
Yeah, this way.
Points and heads with you.
Is that her?
Uh-huh.
Salome blushes a little bit, but doesn't give herself away.
She wouldn't sing a song for me. I felt a little awkward when I asked.
Yeah. I remember that. That's so funny. Are we looking for Wyatt? What are we doing?
Wyatt's apparently far downstairs.
Oh, hell.
The employee-only door has closed. However, as you run towards it, you see it open, and one of the guards starts strutting out.
Can we just run past them?
You fully blow past him as he shouts, "Ah! Get them!" As you run deeper into the pit. And now I need you both to call in Max.
Okay.
All right.
Woohoo!
I think you leave this moment with Salome being like, "You went to the pit!"
Not intentionally.
Wyatt, you are in an elevator. You and Boyd are riding along. Boyd has fallen quiet.
So where are we going now?
We're headed to the fount. Now, Wyatt, when we get down there, you're going to have to stay real close to me. This fount business. Well, the fount's long been dead, but it used to be the safe haven for, well, pagan practitioners. Witchcrafters. You know, religious folk.
Yeah, those weirdos.
People back in the day used to come from all around and congregate here.
Throughout this conversation, Wyatt is doing his darndest to not show his excitement at getting to the fount.
As you are descending,
don't just roll a random die and just keep going. You can't do that.
Boyd says, "So, Wyatt,
I don't think we ever got around to you, what you were doing when you showed up on my doorstep."
I told you I was traveling with my friends on a journey for personal growth, and they were assisting me.
On a journey of personal growth?
Yeah, what did you do when you were a young teenager?
Well, I wasn't worried about personal growth, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it shows.
Oh, there it is. There's that fighting man spirit. So tell me, Wyatt, you were on a mission of personal growth and just happened to be near the Fount of the Flame. Is that right?
Yeah.
When I was talking all that stuff about religion, you didn't take that personally, did you? You wouldn't be the religious type to come in and visit this place, would you? 'Cause I'm telling you, it's dangerous.
Why are you so interested in what I'm doing? You have a business to run. I'm not stopping you.
Wyatt, don't you know? You're a problem. It's people like you. Little rich kids. that go off gallivanting wherever they damn well please and think that, oh, they're above the law. Don't you know who my daddy is? Wyatt, you know how much money I could get from telling your daddy where you are? Well, you got words? You gonna say something? Or are you just gonna stand there looking at me? Gawking.
How are you so different from me? You want to be me. You want money. You've said it yourself.
I want to be you.
You want to be me.
Look at you. Look at you. You think you're a child. That makes you a child. You know what, Wyatt? I tried to like you.
I didn't try to like you.
Well, that showed, didn't it? You see, here's the thing, Wyatt. I have your friends. If you want to buy your friends out of here, you certainly can. But I know who holds the drawstrings to your purse. And it ain't you. So I don't need you to like me.
At that point, the elevator doors open. And he says, go on now. Beyond the elevator, it is pure cavern. These are not the hallways that you saw above. This is just pure subterranean cavern. A little farther beyond, the tunnel opens out into a large circular room. In the center of this room is a pillar. And on that pillar, about eye level with you, is a red handprint.
Can I do the religion check of all religion checks to see what's going on here?
Oh, absolutely. I will give you advantage.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's a 23.
On a 23, you look at the hand mark on the pillar, and you see the outline of a hand, but the palm has a peculiar marking to it, a marking you've only ever seen one other place. In the palm of your right hand. It is a match exactly. And Boyd says, take it in.
Dried up. Fount's gone. All of it. Nothing left. But cavern and cave.
Wyatt's gonna walk towards the pillar.
As you do, Boyd says, what are you doing?
When we were in your office, I kept asking you where my friends were, and you didn't tell me. You didn't answer that question. And I'm continuing to walk as I say this.
Boy, but do not touch that.
Really, Boyd, I wasn't asking for myself. My friends are some of the most incredible people I know. And if anyone could get out of here, I think it'd be them. So I was asking for you. Do you know where my friends are? Because you really should. And then I'm going to put my hand on the handprint.
As you place your hand on it, the pillar quakes. The room quakes. And then it splits down the middle. And this massive pillar opens. As the pillar opens, it slowly moves off and away from the center of the room, and you find that the center is open now, and it is a hole in the ground. A geyser. This hole is small, maybe fist-sized, but a soft orange glow emanates from within. A jet of flame shoots up from it. This is the Fount of the Flame. And Boyd, previously yelling for you to stop, you see Boyd's demeanor change from a look of concern, a look of fret, to almost a maddened joy. His eyes wide. He smiles ear to ear and says, "Thank you, Wyatt." He begins moving towards you. You see, this fount, it was locked up long before I got here. Its power emanates throughout this place. You can feel it. But the real stuff, the real shit, that's down there. He points to the hole. And here's the deal, kid. Ever since I saw your handprint, I knew who you were. I'm not after your daddy's money. I'll have all the money I want, charging people entrance fees to the Fount of the Fucking Flame. 'Cause this place, this is where life begins. And with that, he plunges both hands into the Fount of the Flame. And as you watch, flame begins to erupt up his arms, and he and that is where we'll pick up next time.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. We've got a $2 tier if you want to just show your support. $5 a month gets you all kinds of extra goodies like homebrew content, early access to merch, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. And then if you really want to go to the distance, our $10 tier includes all of the above, plus monthly live streams and creative content from the cast that you can't get anywhere else. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thanks to Jacob Kirzner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be. We're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. Much like a 4-year-old, I need gold stars to be motivated to do anything. And now I'm going to shout out all of our OG and up high subscribers over on Patreon. And I'm going to do it in one breath. Wolfwing Pup, working at the Romansion. Yes, Robin, the whole thing, including this. Michael Carey, Marin Nutt, Malty, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Couple, Jay, Theo L, Zwight, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippyfresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jelly, Keep Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trot Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Two Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, Am Lovelies, Elsa DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Alphorce, Doki Liz, Gary Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Elder Soldier, Lana Peg, Lorik, Balik, Sammy Richards. That was difficult, and it's difficult because of you, and you know who you are. Hoodalolly. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the unknowable nightmare beast that lives in your home, and when you do, use the hashtag MHH5, and hey, how about a high five?